I'd like to begin by reading our scripture another time. Not because it wasn't read very clearly by Faith, sort of in the spirit of the Lectio Divina. And for myself, I know that I'm someone who benefits from hearing something twice, especially if I'm just listening to it. So hear these words from Isaiah one more time. On this mountain, the Lord of heavenly forces will prepare for all peoples a rich feast, a feast of choice wines, of select foods rich in flavor, of choice wines well refined. On this mountain, God will swallow up the veil that is veiling all peoples, the shroud enshrouding all nations, destroying death forever. The Lord God will wipe tears from every face and will remove the disgrace of God's people from off the whole earth. For God has spoken. They will say on that day, "Look, this is our God for whom we have waited, and God has saved us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let's be glad and rejoice in God's salvation." What a gift that this is one of the texts for All Saints. It's technically one of the scriptures for the Day of All Saints, which would be November 1st. And we usually bring that lectionary into the Sunday closest to that here at CMCL. But to me, this text spoke to the deep sadness that I feel when I think of all the beautiful people whose names we'll be speaking today. And one of the things that really struck me, it has a similar phrase to some other passages, for example, one in Revelation, but it doesn't say, "And then there will be no more tears." It says, "God will wipe every tear from every face." Because I can't imagine even wanting a time when I don't feel sadness for the people that I love, that I can't see anymore. Obviously, sadness isn't a lovely feeling, but it is one of the feelings that love turns into when you can't be with people. So if I wrote an icon of God, I would probably have God holding a tissue box, and this would be one of the scriptures that I would be thinking of. I'm not sure that I will ever not be sad about Ashton not being here with us. Not sad about Sunil Dick. And maybe especially as the week ahead ticks closer and closer with this election that we have, we're all hearing so much about and thinking about so much, and frankly, probably many of us worrying about so much. What I wouldn't give to have Ashton and Zaffy breeze into the Parrot Gallery on Tuesday when I'm one of the things I said in an email is that I'll just be here in the Parrot Gallery on Tuesday getting my work done on my laptop, and if you want to stop by before or after you vote or whatever, I'll be here. And when Ashton was around, Ashton stopped by a lot, and I still miss that. And what I wouldn't give for Ashton and Zaffy to breeze through. And I do mean breeze, because he'd come through the door moving fast, and if it was 30 degrees, he'd probably still be wearing his shorts. And I think if I had an icon of Ashton, he'd be wearing shorts on that too. But. Or what I wouldn't give for a matter-of-fact, unsentimental, but deeply hopeful word of wisdom from Lavina Huber. What I wouldn't give for the chance to exhale a bit if I, for example, could have asked for the second reading of the scripture this morning to be done by Roland Stock in his slow, deep Texas drawl. I'm never going to look out in this space and not feel sad that my gaze won't be met with the contagious smile and warmth of Kate Couturier's, for those of you who knew her. I'll always be sad that I never got to even meet Glenn Lapp, who died the first year I was here. And many folks knew, and were inspired by his sincerity and playfulness. Or in this week ahead where I fear I might be feeling almost paralyzed, what I wouldn't give to be in the presence of Anne Sensenig's energy and passion, or Lori Vogt's steady presence, or see the happiness of Mary Jane Fox sitting next to Verna, or the love and the wit shining in Gwen Peachy's eyes. It's not fair that I'm not naming every name. I will read everyone's names when we light the candles. But those are names that just came as I think about this week and as I imagined standing here this morning on All Saints. In the language of the Isaiah passage, I too pray for whatever is veiling us as a country right now, that it may be unveiled. May the death shroud that's enshrouding us be lifted. There could be a whole sermon, a whole song about just those two lines, I think, about that image of veil being lifted, and even just God coming over and consuming it, eating it, taking it away. What imagery is that? At a time when I think so many of us are heartbroken that we can't see each other or understand what each other is seeing, if that veil could be lifted. And even the language of shroud, so often that implies a death shroud or a veiling over a dead person's body. The idea that image around death would be lifted as well. So I hope for myself and for you, may we hold on to the dream of this psalm, that there can be a future of goodness for all of us, and that language in the psalm there as well, that this is something God is hoping and preparing for all peoples. The people of Isaiah's time would have recognized the use of the word death in this passage when it says destroying death forever or swallowing death forever. Some versions have a capital D there because in the text it's using the name version of that. And in the surrounding culture, there was a god or a deity of death. And the image of that person in that time was that death would swallow a person. And so the language of God swallowing death here would have been recognized by folks as a very different way of saying, that death is not the final word, which is repeated throughout our scripture, especially in the life of Jesus. So on this Sunday of All Saints, I think it is, you don't have to sort of convince us why would the church want to take a day to remember those who have gone before. But I found myself thinking about why is it that we so often use candles for remembrance? I struggle sometimes with how the idea of eternal life has been taught in Christianity. It's hard for me to imagine being conscious forever. Frankly, eternal rest sounds pretty good to me. But our lives are so tied to mortality, tied to our awareness of the scarcity of the days we all have. Even if it's hard to actually fathom that we will die someday, I don't think many of us, what I've heard expressed by others, is a sense that life will never end. I feel like we have this sense that there's like a preciousness and a counting and an awareness of the fact that we don't know what that counting is for us or anyone that we love. But perhaps nothing brings home that finiteness of our days than when a loved one dies. We, the living left behind, must live with an absence that can feel very infinite. But here's a little fact about light, which makes these candles, for me, a beautiful evangelist or preacher for All Saints. because flames may look like an object, like a flame on a candle has a shape, sort of a flickering teardrop of heat and light hovering over a candle. But really, light is radiation. And something that radiates is something moving out away from a center, like the radius of a circle moves from the center out. So while we see a flame, the light from it isn't contained in that at all. It's hard for us to really see and be aware of that because there's so much other light here in this room that the light of one candle does very much look just like it is only that flame. But light can't help bringing light, radiating light with it wherever it goes. And in fact, a beam of light, even from a simple flashlight, aimed straight up from the earth, will keep going on and on and on, out and out into space, long after the light is turned off. In fact, if it's not obstructed by an object or a particle or a planet, etc., a beam of light would go on forever, even after it's been turned off at the source. You can't unshine a light, even if you turn it off. It's not a hope, it's not a metaphor, it's not a sentiment, it's a fact. Even when the time comes that no one remembers the candle was ever lit, that little light is still living its best light out there in the universe, hurtling onward. And it's not ours anymore, but it still is. It was in preparing for the memorial for Sunil Dick earlier this year that I sort of got thinking about the nature of light as a metaphor. He was such a warm person who gave off so much light, and that that phrase about being emitting light or being light was one that came up over and over for those that knew him. So this morning, as you light your candles for loved ones, maybe thinking about light in this way can be a reassuring reminder. I know that sometimes when you're missing someone, reassurance about seeing someone again or the love lasting forever can feel like a platitude when you just want to be able to reach out and touch them and nothing can quite make up for that. But be reassured by the fact of the ongoingness of light, the ongoingness of a person's essence. Again, not metaphor, not sentiment. It's a fact, and I hope that that can be reassuring this morning.